You're listening to Diffuse Tap with Kenny Estes and Isla Krem. Today we're chinwagging with Cole Kennelly, founder and CEO of Volmex Labs. We'll be covering all things DeFi derivatives. What are they? Why were they slow to enter the market? And where are the biggest opportunities for their use? Enjoy. All right, one and all, I think y'all are back. Hopefully you had some good conversations in the breakout rooms. Some of you are new, so let me do you a little rundown of what you can expect. Here's what's on tap at Diffuse Tap. Get it? It's funny. This is our 120th weekly episode of Diffuse Tap episode, webinar. I don't know what we're calling it. Anyways, we're going to briefly talk about Diffuse Tap and then Diffuse, and then we're going to do a fireside chat with Mr. Cole Kennelly. And then we're going to do two more rounds of breakout rooms, kind of like what you just experienced. Because this is mostly a networking event. About 3/4 of our time is networking in small groups of, you know, 4, 5, 6. But we do want you to learn a little bit, hence having folks like Cole on. If you do like the networking side of this, we do also have in-person versions of this. The next one is being hosted by Mr. Michael Gale in Boston tomorrow. So if you're in Boston or can be in Boston, go check it out. Why do we do all this? Diffuse is a hedge fund platform. We got two digital asset funds. One's a market neutral DeFi fund, and one is an index fund. We're in the process of listing. We have this event mostly to listen for good ideas as far as investment opportunities, ideally things we can turn into funds, and then also just to meet people that are allocating capital into alternatives. But today, and the reason y'all are here, we're hearing from Mr. Cole Kennelly. Cole, I'm terrible at introductions. Would you mind unmuting yourself and telling the good folks a little bit about your background and what you're up to?
Absolutely. Thanks, Kenny. Thanks, Ayla. It's really great to be here and tell everyone more about what we're building. So quick background on Volmex. At Volmex, we build Volmex implied volatility indexes, which are similar to the VIX index, but for Bitcoin and Ethereum. These indexes are also quite novel as they've introduced some novel, you know, calculations in the way they're generally calculated. But generally, these indexes allow, you know, market participants to track, you know, implied vol and gauge the market's implied volatility. We also build DeFi derivatives around the Volmex implied volatility indexes, including our volatility token product and other products in the future. So these volatility derivatives allow users to hedge and speculate on crypto volatility, which is a very compelling product and something that's widely unavailable in the market. Our first product, volatility token V1, has seen some early traction and some early market validation. It's generally an ERC-20 token, which is linked to the reference index. We're really excited about that, but we've got some really compelling new products and releases coming soon. So we're backed by some of the leading crypto options market makers, like Ledger Prime, Orthogonal Trading, Alameda Research, and a handful of others. And yeah, that's a little bit about Volmex. Quickly on my background, I got in the space in crypto in 2016, professionally in 2017. You know, early on, I had found the DeFi space. I had met Hayden and folks from MakerDAO, Uniswap and MakerDAO teams, got really interested, started doing a lot of research and writing, started a meetup called DeFi NYC, grew that to, you know, had a bunch of meetups in the early days. It was a lot of fun. Joined Staked at the end of 2018 as their second employee and first business hire, helped them lead 10 plus go to markets and get a, you know, tremendous amount of market share ahead of being acquired by Kraken. And I've been trading derivatives in my personal account in crypto and a little bit in the equity space and following the US equity options market structure for a long time as my dad works at the US options exchange and has spent some 30 years working at a few different exchanges. So a little bit about my background and you know, the genesis of Volmex and yeah, what we're building at Volmex. Really excited to be here today.
Thank you so much for hopping on, Cole. We'll drop you right into the deep end to kind of help people understand a little bit more about what are DeFi derivatives really. So if you were going to put them into different buckets, how would you think help people think about DeFi derivatives?
Yeah, great question, Ayla. So derivative, just to, you know, I'm sure everyone here is familiar with derivatives are, but generally, you know, derivative is a contract which derives its value from an underlying asset or the performance of that underlying asset. So futures, options, forwards, swaps, there's various fixed income derivatives. There's a whole, you know, long tail of derivatives out there. DeFi derivatives utilize smart contracts and blockchain to, you know, kind of automate a lot of the back end process and the, you know, counterparties and things like that. And, you know, really automate that away with, you know, a set of smart contracts. So DeFi derivatives, you know, take the legacy analog derivatives and, you know, codify them into smart contracts and make them permissionless, transparent, composable. So these are some of the reasons that DeFi derivatives are extremely powerful, is that it, you know, not only can traders use these derivatives for speculation, hedging, risk management, there's also a number of, you know, benefits to them, including, like that I mentioned, that they're composable with a broader DeFi ecosystem, composable with stablecoins. They can be audited in real time. They're transparent. They're permissionless. Anyone can interact with them with no minimums or maximums. So, you know, generally DeFi derivatives are a step function improvement to the CeFi, you know, system, and, you know, is really, you know, a big innovation and something we're really excited about. So this is how we think about DeFi derivatives at Volmex.
I'm going to jump on Mitchell's question from the chat there, and it speaks to being kind of the core value prop. Smart contracts, he's questioning about counterparty risk and how that's managed. Do you want to kind of explain a little bit about how, like, on-chain smart contracts are kind of very fundamentally different versus more centralized derivative issuers?
Yeah, sure. So generally, that's a great question, Mitchell. And thanks, Kenny. So, you know, on-chain derivatives are fully transparent, you know, generally. There's, you know, and I think there's some systems that are, you know, work towards being fully decentralized, and maybe there's some progressively decentralization. But I think that, you know, generally, you know, centralized exchange for perhaps, you know, Binance or FTX, you know, those are really amazing companies that have done a lot for the space, but nobody really knows what goes on behind closed doors, right? Like in terms of, you know, margin rules and risk management rules and these type of things. With DeFi, everything in terms of how the product works and the market makers, you know, relationships and, you know, all these type of things is fully transparent. So I think that, you know, DeFi, it's really about, like, the, you know, every, you know, all the surface area for the system being transparent and, you know, really available and well, you know, easy to be understood, you know, more easily understood by the broader community. Whereas, like, with a centralized exchange, it's just a black box and nobody really knows, you know, how the rules exactly work and how it's coded or things like that. So, yeah, I think, you know, every DeFi system works a little bit differently with the, you know, under, you know, mechanics under the hood, but generally that's how, you know, we think about it, that it's just fully transparent and based on, you know, one of these mechanisms, it keeps an equilibrium and, you know, it's a better alternative to the CeFi system.
How come it took so long for DeFi derivatives to come into the world? It's been about 2 years since the proper DeFi summer. Is there a reason why kind of the popularity of this is only kicking in now? Did it need a certain amount of volume, or what's some of the reasoning behind taking so long?
Yeah, great question, Ayla. So for context, for everyone, so crypto derivatives and CeFi have grown pretty substantially over the last few years. Perpetuals, there's about $20 billion of open interest, $100 billion of trading volume, you know, roughly over, you know, recently. Options are an order of magnitude smaller. There's currently about $1 billion of open interest and much less, you know, premium or notional exchanged. And yeah, so, you know, in 2015, you know, the perp markets kind of popped up in the, you know, derivative space in crypto with BitMEX and OKX. Options, you know, 2017, 2018 with Deribit. And it was only till, you know, really last run that there was, you know, 2017, 2018, that other stable coins besides Tether really came on the scene. So I would say that DeFi derivatives, you know, started, you know, coming on the scene 2015, you know, generally with some of the more professional exchanges. So I think that, you know, they've been growing in the CeFi space, but, you know, broadly, you know, a lot of the tooling and infrastructure for DeFi derivatives has not been in place. So I'd say stable coins were a big, you know, thing there. The growth of USDC to, you know, tens of billions of dollars is definitely very beneficial to the DeFi ecosystem. And I think largely, you know, DEXs and other composable primitives that need to be, you know, utilized for DeFi derivatives in different cases were not built out. And now with a lot of this tooling and, you know, other composable primitives, there's a lot more that, you know, a smart contract engineer, you know, dApp engineer, DeFi engineer can, or team can build with these, you know, tooling and the products and primitives which are now on the market. So it's been a slow rollout, I think, with a lot of the DeFi primitives, and, you know, stablecoins have grown very prolifically over the last few years. But, you know, I think we're getting to a point where we're about to cross the chasm and really see that DeFi derivative adoption.
It's great. The composability is in, it kind of evokes an image of like Legos, right? All the Legos are gradually coming together and gets more and more complex as you build it out. Scotty has a very practical question for you. Who's your typical client? Are we mostly in the US, offshore? Are they buying it for, are they doing these derivatives for hedging, for speculation? What does the market look like there?
Great question. So at Volmex, we don't offer our product in the US, the derivative product. We offer the index as a data that can be, you know, consumed as data, which can be consumed for market insights and things like that. But the linked derivative products are not available in the US. So we work towards, you know, something in offering that, you know, kind of makes them available in the US, but currently that's kind of the, based on the kind of market structure, how we've approached things. Typical users, we're focused on both institutional and retail. So a number of our existing investors, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of the call, so Ledger Prime, Orthogonal. So these folks have used some of our products and their, you know, nascency, and will continue to support us on new product launches. So crypto native quant shops, market makers, prop desks, those folks are a big bucket for us. And, you know, we make a concerted business development effort to acquire those users. And then on the retail side, there's, you know, broadly DeFi power users, you know, smaller users on layer twos, things like that. So, you know, so we think that both are very important for us and, you know, basically outside the US generally. So to answer your question. So, and generally people are using the index for the products that are linked to it for some speculation or hedging, and then using the index generally for as an indicator to follow volatility and to track it and to understand how the market is pricing and feeling about implied vol. So these are why the products are compelling to our users.
In the process of building out the business over the last year or so, what are the learning lessons you've picked up? One of them might be don't have US customers for the regulatory reasons. What are some of the other just insights and learning lessons that you've taken over the last few months?
Yeah, another great question. So DeFi is a very fast-paced industry, but I think it's extremely important for DeFi teams to balance security as their top priority while also moving fast, right? So security in crypto and in smart contracts and Ethereum, you know, broadly in dApps, really cannot be understated. It's the most important thing. So, you know, often you see, you know, every other, you know, day or week or whatever, there's different sorts of exploits or issues. So bad security really does ruin projects. So it's absolutely paramount to have top-notch security, to do multiple audits, to have a bug bounty program. So it's not necessarily something we've learned through an issue, but something we've observed broadly in the ecosystem that a lot of other of our peers or in the industry have had, you know, issues with. So it's really important to invest in security through audits, again, through bug bounty programs and, you know, lots of testing. So I think that's a lesson that is very relevant to the space.
Makes good sense. So another very practical question for you from Aaron Winkler. So from a technical perspective, how do you get liquidity? So you have derivatives, are they kind of, you know, certain strikes and certain expiry type stuff, and then you have you're a market maker. What does the actual technical process look like if I want to go buy some derivatives from you?
So yeah, great question, Aaron. Thanks, Kenny. So Volmex Volatility Token V1 uses this AMM architecture. We have some new products coming soon which improve on this architecture, and you know, generally, but also introduce like different ways to trade. So so yeah, so we don't market make on the products, and there's, you know, so that's to answer your question there. So they're AMM based. Someone can go to the QuickSwap or the Uniswap V3 pool and buy the token, or they can mint it via the contract. You know, so basically that's generally how it works. And, you know, we're going to improve the UX pretty substantially in kind of these coming releases. So I do think that order books are very compelling for derivatives trading, and we're very, you know, keen on, you know, that topic and, you know, I would say stay tuned. So, we have, you know, multiple products which stem from our index. And we think that's, you know, very compelling that number of them, these different products have different use cases and, you know, are different in different ways. So, currently that's the mechanics and kind of plan to expand the suite of products. Great question.
That's great. I'm going to do a quick knock on it. So what is an AMM? And how is that different from more traditional market making and, you know, just limit books?
Yeah, excellent question. AMM stands for Automated Market Maker. It's a term that's, you know, sounds familiar. It's been used in kind of different contexts in TradFi, but it was really a term that was pioneered largely by Uniswap. And it's a new type of exchange that generally does not use an order book. So instead of having a bid and an ask and bids and asks and kind of, you know, a mid price and convergence of them, there's reserves and a liquidity pool and an algorithm which determines, you know, how the pricing works exactly. So basically it's an exchange with, you know, liquidity pools and reserves, and through the algorithm, it, you know, prices, but there's trade-offs right with this. So order books, you know, you have more, you can be more specific with, you know, how you place an order. Whereas on an AMM, there's less flexibility, whereas like you just kind of take what the market price is and you don't have the flexibility to place a limit order on an order book. So, you know, AMMs have gotten really large in crypto because they offer this really good UX around passive LPing for, you know, a lot of different types of altcoins and different things. And that grew pretty big with Uniswap V2 and Uniswap V3. But I think, you know, order books, you know, centralized exchanges and DeFi exchanges that use order books are complementary. So it's an excellent question. And, you know, something, you know, related to market structure, we pay a lot of attention to.
How do you structure your KYC is a question from the chat. Yes, one can use a VPN and then just circumgo all of the US fencing around the product. But how do you kind of approach regulatory compliance, KYC, AML, onboarding, all those things, given the space has come under quite a bit of more scrutiny lately?
Yeah, so great question, Ayla, and great question from the chat. So our terms of service, you know, specifically spell out if users use a VPN, they are breaking our terms of service. So we do not allow US users and, you know, list of sanctioned countries. And, you know, to be clear, if users are using a VPN, then that's from the US, that's violating that that terms of service. So that's generally our stance on it. And, you know, we work towards different sorts of offerings that might be available, you know, and use different sorts of, you know, architecture here generally. So that's kind of how we approach this today. And it's pretty in line with the broader DeFi market standard, but we're kind of paying close attention to, you know, the market, you know, the market's the precedent around this and, you know, things broadly changing and kind of enforcements and things like that. So this is how we currently approach it. And it's been in line with the best practice in the market, but, you know, it's something that we invest a lot into legal and are paying, we have our, you know, finger on the pulse of that.
As you're investing all that money in legal and regulatory, let's ask a more detailed question there. What is the state of play? Because I know there's a big chasm in the US to get to crypto derivatives. Do you see that changing soon? Where do you think those chips are going to fall? Timeline, you know, standard just questions.
Yeah, great question. So I think it's really actually more about DeFi versus CeFi. Like a lot of these regulated entities, you know, or different funds, prop shops, maybe they feel it's risky to interact with DeFi as there's not the KYC requirement that they're used to. So I think DeFi, you know, derivatives in the US are broadly really hard to use for institutional investors. I think there will be solutions that kind of, you know, reduce that gap with time. So I do think that, you know, something that, you know, we're not in that space yet, but it's something that we you know, think is interesting and related to us is, you know, the regulated derivative side. So what, you know, FTX US is doing, they're doing a lot on the policy side. You know, they're in Washington meeting with, you know, doing a lot of lobbying and meeting with, you know, decision makers. And, you know, there's other initiatives like CME just launched their options initiative. And there's a handful of others. So I do think that derivatives, you know, regulated derivatives industry around crypto will grow a lot in the US. And, you know, there's going to be a continued trend for, you know, players like, you know, making an entry in that space, like what we're seeing from Coinbase or FTX US or, you know, other maybe DeFi projects, which, you know, venture into the regulated derivative space. So I'm very bullish on the growth of derivatives, I think, in the regulated side. But I think it's kind of unclear with, you know, how exactly DeFi derivatives are become, you know, widely available for institutions, but it's going to grow more. And yeah, I think that's, you know, how we think about it. And I also do think another thing is that DeFi, CeFi derivatives are also very compelling for institutions that want to trade crypto, but don't have the mandate to custody spot, right? So like they can go to a cash settled derivatives dealer and, you know, buy derivatives or, you know, do some sort of strategy. And, you know, they don't need to, you know, custody underlying Bitcoin or Ethereum. They can still kind of dip their toes and get in the space. So I think that's been a trend that's been pretty prevalent over the last few years. And I expect that to kind of continue where, you know, a lot of these, you know, shops, they have they already have the infrastructure to interact with these, you know, exchanges and dealers that, that, you know, provide them commodity derivatives on other derivatives. So on other assets. So yeah, I think it's a great question. Something we think is very interesting, the derivatives market structure as it relates to CeFi and DeFi and, you know, something that we're paying very, very close attention to.
Awesome. Really appreciate your thoughts. We are going to pop into breakout rooms now because people go a little cross-eyed if they just see people talking for a while. But Cole, when between breakout rooms, we always ask the same question. Tell us the future. What's coming down the pipe? What are you excited by? And the more unknown by the audience, the better. But for now, cool. But for now, some housekeeping items for the breakout room. It is not a pitching session. It's networking. Please be respectful of that. Be kind to one another. And then also we do not issue a full participant list. So if you meet somebody, swap details then and there, or join our Telegram group. The link is in the chat and or the follow-up email that Ms. Isla will be sending along.
Alrighty. I'll pop you into rooms of 4, 5, 6, and I'll give you a topic. Don't feel extremely beholden to it. But in terms of DeFi derivatives, which incarnation of the derivatives do you think will be see the most adoption over the next 6 months or so? I'll pop you into rooms now, and we'll see you back here in about 10 minutes.
KKK, welcome back, folks. As promised or threatened, Cole, oh, you've already unmuted yourself. You know it's coming. Tell us the future. What do you see coming down the pipe? What are you excited about?
Yeah, great question. So, well, at Volmex, we've got a really a number of exciting releases coming over the next few weeks and months. So we've got some, you know, a new index methodology and volatility token V2 and a number of other linked products. So really excited about the rollout here. We'll be making a number of announcements in the coming, you know, days and weeks, months. Stay tuned for those. Generally, you know, just excited for the DeFi derivative space to you know, grow more. Perpetuals, options, you know, vol products, they're all very synergistic. So we're excited to kind of grow the pie with the broader, you know, our peers in the ecosystem. And yeah, I think, you know, excited to see, yeah, this is the merge today. Ethereum is going to go to proof of stake. That's exciting. DeFi derivatives will now be able to, you know, kind of leverage that innovation and kind of progressively. So yeah, I think really excited about our roadmap at Volmex, which we'll be doing a number of, you know, announcements on coming soon, or, you know, next imminently. And yeah, super excited about the space generally and kind of where we're headed.
You know, I'm going to mess with the timings. I'm sorry. The merge, big news. I can't believe we haven't brought it up yet. What is this? Is our gas fees going to just plummet as soon as this merge is done, potentially as soon as midnight this evening? Is this a stepping stone? Like what can... There's a lot of news about it. What is the actual ramification for the community?
Yeah, great question. So basically, the merge is generally the state from the Ethereum one being merged into these beacon chains. So it is, like you said, like a stepping stone. There's other milestones on the roadmap with, you know, related to different things, but it's basically, you know, deprecating the proof of work chain and moving to a fully proof of stake chain. I think there's some misconceptions in the community around what exactly will happen to fees. I think that, you know, I think TBD on what exactly happens. I think layer twos will still be very important for like a close to zero fee transaction. You know, and the fees on mainnet will still be a bit higher. So that's kind of my view. We're monitoring closely and, you know, we think it's interesting, you know, personally, of course, that it's a big milestone for the space and, it's been, you know, years in the making, right? I think Vitalik probably first mentioned proof of stake, you know, around the genesis of Ethereum. So it's been a very long time coming and it's a huge milestone for the space. And, you know, Ethereum is now will be secured by this proof of stake consensus. And it will also be, you know, more sustainable and, you know, environmentally friendly and these things. So I think it's a really big milestone, you know, to reiterate. And you know, really excited about it.
Super exciting stuff. Isla, sorry, you're back to you, please.
Yeah, we will do another round of breakout rooms. And the question du jour for this round is, what should people do about US investors? Should there be products just for them? Should companies start making VPNs more available? Should the government really think about what to do with US investors in this space? I'll pop you into rooms now, and we will see you back here in 10 minutes.
Awesome. So we're going to do just a quick couple wrap-up items and get you out of here right at the top of the hour, if I can find the right slide. So we mentioned this is a weekly event. Next week, we're talking inflation and the ripple effect of it. As a reminder, tomorrow in Boston, there's an in-person version of the networking. I like to joke, there's more beer and fewer speakers. And if you do want to engage with the community, they're very good for networking. Do join us on Telegram. Links in the chat. And we'll be in a follow-up email as well. Introduce yourself. Ask for something.
That's the whole and the end of it. Thank you so much for coming today. And we definitely hope to see you here next week again.
Yeah, Cole, thank you so much for your words of wisdom and sharing some of your hard-won experience.
This was a lot of fun. See you guys next time. Thanks for having us again. Time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. See you.
Thanks for everybody coming out. We'll see you same time next week. All right. Have a good one. Bye. That's all, folks. Hope you learned something new. If you join us on Zoom every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central, you can also network with other fascinating alternative investors from all over the world in small groups of four or five. Learn more on our website at www.diffusefunds.com. Until next time.